This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Montreal Stingray has built up a global business providing curated music channels for consumers on their cable systems and through streaming, and also for retail through in-store radio systems. But the company also has a fast-growing business division that's focused both on shopper experiences using digital display and on shopper behaviors and interests. Stingray's been most active in Canada and particularly Quebec, but it's making moves to expand into the United States, Europe, and elsewhere. I caught up with Renaud LaFrance, the Chief Revenue Officer for Stingray Business, to get a sense of how his group operates, the product offer, and the state of the retail market as we start to come out of this awful pandemic. We get into a bunch of things, including how retailer needs have evolved in the past year and the value of analytics. We also talk about a big sports retailer's flagship filled with digital in suburban Montreal. Renaud, thanks for joining me. Let's start by giving a background on what Stingray is all about. I spoke with Pierre from your company about 3 years ago, but it's certainly timely to do an update.
Yes, David, thanks. First of all, thank you for having me on your podcast. I've heard a lot of great things about it. And let me give you a very brief summary of the Stingray organization. So Stingray was founded in 2007. We're a publicly listed company. As of 2015, we went public. And essentially, we're a business, a leader in the, you know, music and visual media in the world. So there's essentially three business units tied to Stingray. The genesis is what we call our broadcast plus streaming app business. This is where you've seen on many cable operators around the world, but let's say in the US, you know, operators such as Comcast, in Canada, Rogers and such, where you have our audio channels. And throughout the years, without many acquisitions, we've added other channel, other solutions, such as Qello, which is the Netflix of concerts, and karaoke. We have the largest licensed karaoke catalog in the world. And we have different platforms for the karaoke, not just cable operators, but in the world of OTT, over-the-top platforms, such as Amazon, they're distributors of our content, and Roku, Samsung TV Plus, which are using also our audio and visual channels. Different products like NatureScape is one of them. If you ever have a Samsung TV or an LG, both are partners of ours. This is loaded directly into the smart TVs. So this broadcast slash streaming app business is one of our units. The second unit is radio. So we have 100 radio stations, like old style broadcasting. And the third business unit is the discussion today, the one which I take care of, is Stingray Business, which is all about in-store media solutions regarding music and digital signage and experience, as well as insights.
Right. And you're a Montreal company, and I think you got your start on the digital side by acquiring another Montreal company called Group Viva. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah. So for since 2007, our Stingray Group Inc., we've acquired around 48. We've done 48 acquisitions in the different divisions. Okay. But in the Stingray Business Division, our first foray into digital signage was in 2015. Before that, we had acquired other commercial background music companies, but right, the digital signage, digital experience portion of the in-store media world started in 2015. And yes, it was a local Canadian company called Viva Group. And then we also acquired another digital signage company called Novra Media. And,
down in Toronto.
Out of Toronto. And we also acquired a company in Europe, in the Benelux, which had a mix of commercial background music and digital signage. Mm-hmm. So a company called DJ-matic, and where we have a presence in Netherlands and both Belgium. We also acquired last year during the pandemic our Mexican affiliate, Basha, which they have many large enterprise brand clients with digital signage rolled out in Mexico.
So is that kind of a strategy for the executive to grow through, at least in part, through acquisition?
Absolutely. Stingray's strategy is growth twofold into using acquisition, and also a big push in organic growth as well, a combination of the two.
So your streaming music business is global. On the digital media side, the quasi-digital signage side, is that primarily North American and more so than anything so far in Canada?
So just to give you a little context, we have around 125,000 locations with one of our solutions, or both, or more than two in retail locations. So music, signage, business intelligence, what we call insights. And we have a global footprint. So reason our strategy was really to become a global player and really take on global enterprise clients. We have to have a footprint, and not just the footprint, feet on the street with a full staff, taking care of support, taking care of project management, taking care of curation, taking care of all the integration necessary for both signage and music, commercial music installs. So this is why we have an office in Sydney, Australia, for the APAC region, with a full team over there. We have the European team, the Mexican team for LATAM, USA, Canada, and all our different offices have the signage capabilities embedded with the commercial music to give a full in-store media solution package for our retail brick and mortar clients in the different verticals that we operate.
Right. But is it fair to say that a lot of your business to date has been in Canada and you're now expanding?
When we acquired the company in Europe, they had a certain percentage of revenue coming from signage. Mm-hmm. Mexico is, I would say, 80% digital signage.
Ah,
but
okay.
But it's fair to say that, well, like notable large clients, like we have banks in Mexico with a full digital signage rollout, largest pharmacy chain in Mexico also under, with digital signage. Mm-hmm. And but of course, still the bulk now is Canada, but very quickly moving on to American brands and, as well as global enterprise brands for digital signage as we speak.
Yeah, and you did some sort of a, I think it was a partnership more than anything else, with a U.S. concern called Space Factory going back, what, 2-3 months?
The thing with Space Factory is that we started with a partnership with them. They're a veteran crew, a collective in the in-store media world. They've been operating the past 30 years in various different businesses that are well-known, such as Play Network and others. And we just combine our efforts to really launch our conquest of the American market, if you want. As of January 1st, we exited our relationship with our partnership with Moon Media, where initially we were exclusive for Canada for commercial music, and they were exclusive for the U.S. Now this is over, and one of the reasons why we partnered with Space to accelerate our penetration of the American market with seasoned veterans. And again, we're, you know, always looking at tuck-in acquisitions and major acquisitions in the American market to further consolidate and further grow our in-store media business, as well as we've built and we're continuing to build a full organic sales team in the US and going after enterprise brands always.
So I'm an end user. I'm a large retailer in the US, and I'm interested in what Stingray and Space Factory have to offer. What all is it that you guys do? Do you start right at the consulting idea stage and take it all the way through to ongoing management, or are there is there a start point and an end point?
No, absolutely. I think with our unique blend of solutions, not just on the business side, but also on the consumer broadcast side, we have a lot of assets, and we have a unique position and combination that we can bring to the marketplace. So I've mentioned along the way, insights. I'll take an insights as them. As we bundle these, the media, music, technology, digital signage experience, insights. So for instance, I'll give you a little more background on the insights portion. We acquired a company last year called Chatter Research, and they've developed a very clever way to get feedback from retail clients, thus giving very sought after, you know, information on customers. The way this is done in the retail world these days, you know, in the past years, often you go and shop, or even shop online, same thing. You'll get sometimes a request to fill out a survey, to go online to fill out a survey. What Chatter has done through a proprietary AI engine is really develop a clever, easy way to interact with clients, to talk about their experience. We call it a conversation. So as you exit, if you're a purchaser or non-purchaser, irrelevant, with a QR code enabled through signage or through different media placements in a retail operation, you have a conversation with an AI text-based on your smartphone. Thus you're answering, and the AI will look at 1200 inflection points. So instead of asking you questions, 8 or 9 questions, it's an open conversation. And then the AI captures this data, and there's a dashboard which retail management can really consult every second of the day if they want, getting real-time feedback coming in, classifying it, and seeing what people really want or what's missing. So this intelligence, business intelligence, is, I think, now a vital part of our whole in-store media solution offering. And it also makes it another value add and something very distinctive to bring to the business world.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like a chat bot, except instead of it being for a virtual store, it's for a bricks and mortar store.
Yeah, and it's more than a chat bot, because it was really built for the whole retail marketplace. And there's also a version online where a lot of our retailers have, you know, e-commerce, especially these days in the pandemic. And it also, so it's not a chat bot. It's really focused on getting feedback from clients, and really capturing all of that, and building a dashboard, establishing the NPS, Net Promoter Score, and executives can have deep insight that they would never get with a simple 8-question feedback.
This is very different, it seems, from a lot of the retail analytics that have been marketed in the last 3 or 4 years. I think of going to the NRF show a couple of years ago, and the trade show floor was filled with companies selling AI-based, computer vision-based retail analytics. And I've not seen a lot of take-up of that stuff. So going at it this way with an opt-in app, basically, seems very different.
Well, it's very different. I mean, we've also, with our different digital experience or digital signage solutions, used AI with facial recognition and so on, just kind of like establish with our clients what's working, what's not working with content and so on. But this is really a smart, simple, and conversational. And there's no app, by the way. It's just you just we'll get to QR code.
Okay, it's just a web app.
It's a QR code, or you can just text a number and you start the conversation.
Gotcha.
Via text.
Hmm. This has been an interesting 12 months, to say the least, and a difficult time for a lot of retailers, unless they sell groceries or they're a big box or they sell liquor. I'm curious how the last year has been in terms of what retail needs are, what retail interests are in digital experiences in store. Has it kind of gone quiet on you, or is there still a lot of interest, or even perhaps more interest than there was in the past because things are so different now?
I will give you an answer based on geography, because in all our different countries where we we have our retail clients, we have a different mix. For instance, in North America, we were lucky to have a lot of essential, what we call now essential business clients, such as supermarkets, drugstores, banks, who always stayed open.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough. In some other geographies we have sometimes more of a mix of restaurants, cafes, hospitality, and so on. And, as you know, whether it's Europe or Canada, USA, or Mexico, a lot of them were shut down, mm-hmm. and are still shut down. So, but overall, we were very lucky to have enterprise brand clients and a good concentration in still essentials. And even the QSR clients, they kept operating with drive-through, curbside mm-hmm. pickup, as you know. Second part of the answer to your question is, yes, we are seeing the demand for new signage, whether it's like signage that will kind of like at the entrance of a store, look at store counts, people counts, like the whole messaging for COVID. Another thing that's happened along the way is on the audio side, music side, because we have thousands of locations where we can broadcast messages. We've been broadcasting a lot of COVID messaging in our mm-hmm. retail clients, less visually, but more audio, where you absolutely reach everyone that's in the store. So COVID messaging, safety, health and safety, whether it's for the employees or for the, general consumer walking in the store, that's been very popular. And even using our Insights solution Chatter, we're getting a lot of valid new information from clients stating what they need, what they want, what they're looking for, and what they'd like to see within the retail experience, the customer experience, mm-hmm. regarding visual content, regarding less touch, and so on.
Are there still budgets out there? Like there are retailers who are prepared to spend, or are they on hold?
Funny thing, it's a lot of retailers, and again, if you look at the focus on large global brands, whether they're engaged with a current vendor and they want to switch, because some people in some companies in the industry have been affected. I'm talking about some of the competition might mm-hmm. not have as a healthy balance sheet, and it's very interesting to see the number of RFPs and then the number of large deals that are currently in negotiation with major, major iconic brands around the mm-hmm. world that we are currently involved in. So there, regardless if some of let's say a 2,000, 3,000 store global chain, I won't name a specific brand, but they are affected in different countries, but they are still looking at, modernizing, looking at, digital experience within the store, the customer experience. We've been saying this for many years that maybe the retail footprint will be reduced, but the experience will be augmented.
Mm.
So the short answer, David, is that surprisingly, there's a lot of activity right now.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company's Green Feed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
I'm also curious, there's been a lot of things written and a lot of speculation on things like panel discussions and so on about how retail has changed and how selling has moved to the parking lot, to the curbside, that there's a big demand for personalization, that there will be appointment-based shopping, and a lot of the way that we do shopping in places other than big box grocery and so on will change as a result of all this. Are you seeing that at all?
I think we are seeing it. If you look at different verticals, I'll use the example of QSR, for instance. Mm-hmm. You see with certain QSR forward-thinking brands, the proliferation of drive-thru. Some drive-thrus are like now two lanes, three lanes. As you just mentioned, using a mobile app to pre-order to get delivered at specific spots within curbside pickup. You're seeing multiple channels now open up, and we were in a discussion with some autonomous cars delivering food, and we were involved with a signage portion within the car, and also the feedback insights portion within that delivery service that will be launched later by a major QSR brand. So people are, I'll mention also some fully automated stores coming online.
Yep.
You've seen Amazon grocery, look at that. Closer to us, Circle K is also looking at the convenience store automation lab. So we've done also a great new concept with Canadian-based QSR chain called Recipe Unlimited, which holds around, they have 1,300 locations spread out over 9 brands. And they've developed a new concept where all their brands can be served within one kitchen, and you pre-order or you just walk in, kind of like a giant vending machine, and there's no sit-down. You just pick up in your cubicle the meal you ordered, and you go home with it, but you have access to all the brands within one kitchen instead of going to different restaurants, obviously. So that, and we've seen, I'm using the QSR example, and then we could go on to different verticals, but you know, we've seen ghost kitchens happening. We've seen, there's many different innovations coming up right now that we want to, assist, partner with these clients in helping them bring, in the QSR business, as I've stated before, they're also looking at experience. What can we do to have a unique experience? So more investments going towards experience and into new experiences, into new delivery methods, instead of a proliferation of a greater number of locations
right,
to serve their client base.
One of your colleagues, Martin, sent me a video that showed a new store that you guys have worked on in suburban Montreal and out in Brossard that is sporting goods. And you guys have done quite a bit of sporting goods. Can you tell me about this Sports Expert store and what the thinking was behind it? Because it's pretty ambitious and big.
This unique store, I think the square footage is around 65,000. And the owner-operator has currently 10 sporting goods stores under this banner. Called Sports Experts, pretty much like a Dick's Sporting Goods in the U.S. We've been partnering with them for a number of years, and this specific owner really believed in revamping to create more experiences. And made a lot of multi-million dollar investments within his stores, and specifically this large one, where we supported him with unique solutions, LED, interactivity, obviously our commercial background, music embedded with a special playlist made for them, chatters in there also. And it's really become like a flagship store, iconic store. And the ROI is clear. I mean, even if it was a substantial investment for the total store, the total footprint of the store, after it's been open now for a year and a half, I think, and sells, are better than expected, based on the considerable investment he made in that store, not just with our solution, but with everything put together.
Mm-hmm. Sporting Goods is an interesting one. There's a rival Canadian chain that has opened a lot of big flagship stores as well, and they've been to a point of amusement for me because they seem to want to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, into the stores in terms of visual razzle dazzle. Like there's gesture, there's interactive, there's everything. And I've walked through there and thought a lot of times, I'm not sure why they did this. Are the sporting goods retailers getting a little more sophisticated in terms of what they do and why they want to do it and getting past the pure visual excitement thing?
I think so. I mean, I don't know if you want to mention the banner you're talking about.
Go right ahead if you want, or I can. Starts with sport.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'll use the example of the Sports Experts one where you have a refrigeration area as if you were in the Arctic, and you enter and you try some coats on. And so it's not just digital. It's experiences, right? And it's unique. Yeah. So that's an example of what's making it different and unique. Or you enter an area where there's rain so that you can test rain gear and the permeability of different coats. And I guess if you look back in the 80s, 90s, the mall was at the centerpiece of social activity for a lot of teenagers and adults. And now we're seeing entertainment come in to retail. You know, we're seeing experiences. We're seeing, as you kind of like talked about the store near the greater metropolitan area of Montreal, on the South Shore, they're in an open outside mall. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing all these developments around entertainment in these open inside. Again, the pandemic in last year has kind of like stopped some of the development, but we all foresee this to continue on the experiential side, melting, retail, hospitality, entertainment, all in one.
Yeah, I've been out that way. I don't think the store was open at that point, but certainly there's some great restaurants right in that immediate area. You've got some premium retailers like Williams and Sonoma and everything else in there. It's not your average shopping mall.
No, and you've seen there's other real estate developments coming up across North America where, you know, you'll have concerts, you'll have, you know, like major hotels set up within the retail shopping area. They become destinations in itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe a precursor to this was the West Edmonton Mall, the giant West Edmonton Mall. But I mean, we're seeing more and more of this, and experiences are becoming very important.
Yeah, well, it can't be a just destination to go shopping, because you can go shopping on your phone or on your desktop.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Stingray, with our global footprint, we are very well positioned to really partner with these brands to bring these experiences.
So when you have a first meeting with a chain retailer, it doesn't really matter what they sell, just a chain retailer, and you have that first conversation, what do you ask them?
I think we have to understand the brand and what is their story. And what they want to create as a client business experience. So I think the first part always is really understanding the brand and what the brand means to their client base. And that is the first and foremost thing. And then after that, I mean, you get into the solution aspect, but that is the key item to really capture. And I think a lot of people are skipping that part. This is where, you know, you can come up with endearing, enduring solutions instead of coming up with a lot of hardware where you've seen this many times, right? Where things were not well thought out and there is no content, there is no value, but
yeah,
there is some signage, there is some experience, but little value because, you know, content was not really well thought, was a second thought to the whole hardware networking logistical piece of the, the digital signage operation. And I think, David, you've been one to use examples of sometimes office tower lobbies where you've seen great content. I think lobby waiting seating area of Netflix, you're immersed in some of their shows or their series. That's using the complete power of the digital experience and creatively and really to do something different.
Yeah, then you get the flip side where there's an office lobby and they put in a giant LED wall and they don't really seem to know why they did it, and they just go out and find some, you know, 4K footage and run it on there. And I can remember one in Miami that I saw, and it was showing scenes from, you know, the Miami waterfront, and the Miami waterfront was across the street from the buildings. Like, if I want to see that, I'll go outside.
Exactly, David. I mean, this is where if you understand the brand, if you understand the story, you can create a unique business experience for the client, and I guess content and the way you draw the whole experience out is crucial.
Mm-hmm. All right, Renaud, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I really appreciate it.
Welcome, David. It's always a pleasure, and good luck with your podcast. I think you have a great tool for our digital signage industry.
Thank you. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.